Hi, you're listening to Go See a Show, New York City's independent theater podcast. What scares you the most? And what would you do if those worst fears were realized? It was starting from that question that playwright Lisi DeHaas wrote her beautiful new play, Leave Me Green, currently playing at The Gym at Judson. I spoke to Lisi and the show's director, Jay Stull, after a recent performance. Take a listen.
So I like to start with everyone's name on the mic, so I'll get the playwright.
Hi, I'm Lisi DeHaas.
And I'm Jay Stull.
Discerning listeners will recognize Jay's voice from Take Me Back. The show this time is called Leave Me Green. We're back at, I didn't do the Capables. I worked on the Capables. I didn't do an episode. Thanks. Yeah, I'm a jerk.
For working on it. It's a big show.
It was a big show. All those Beanie Babies, man. That was amazing.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're in the gym at Judson. The show's Leave Me Green. Lisi wrote it, and it's there's a lot of ideas in this show. And I said before I turned on the mic, I kind of don't even know where to start. Like, where did this play come from for you? Because there's so many things wrapped up in here. And before you say that, I will say, like, one of the things that I love in independent theater is that it's of the moment. When it's of the moment, it's doing the right work, I think, personally. This is very much of a moment, and I love that. So this is beautiful. It's great work. Why did you write this piece? Where did it come from for you?
Well, it came from a lot of different directions, but I think at its core, it came out of a time in my life where I was actually grieving, not the death of my spouse. My spouse is still alive, thank God. But a few people in my family passed away very close together. And so I was just deep in grief. And I hadn't been writing for a while. And when I started writing again, this is what I started to write. And it was of the moment that I was in. Obviously, there's a lot of other themes in there around relationships, marriage, families. I am married to my partner. I have a child. We have a child together. You know, so this was sort of, in a way, a projection of what I was afraid. Like, if the worst possible thing in the world could happen to me, this is what it would be. And I don't know why. I mean, that's such a strange thing to write about, but you know what it was? Is it was like this opposite thing. It's like, I'm really sad. A lot of people have died in my family. We're all having such a hard time. Let me look at what about my life is amazing, which is like my family. And then the converse of that, what would be the worst possible thing? If I lost my partner and I, you know, went in deep into this act of alcoholism and my son, you know, like if everything fell apart the way that it falls apart in the play. But I wrote it sort of to remind myself, like, you're okay. You're going to be fine. We're all going to be fine. Things are good. We're alive. We're together. You know, it's working out.
That's one of the most gorgeous parts of the play, is that these people seem to find those connections. And it's a play full of hope, especially once we get to the end. Like, it really feels like everything that's kind of broken about it, like, it's not that it's fixed in a cliche bullshit, like, oh, it's a sitcom, at the end everything's okay, like something breaks at the start and then by the end it's all mended, everybody's forgiven. It's more like there's all this shit behind us, here's how we like find ways to kind of move forward from the shit. And that's gorgeous. Like, it's a really beautiful way to approach a play. For those who are enjoying this via the audio medium and have not yet seen the show, can you kind of give a quick rundown of what exactly it is that's going on stage? Like, maybe a brief synopsis? Super quick.
Oh, okay. So this...
Jay's on the spot.
I'm on the spot of the synopsis. The protagonist of the play is Rebecca Green. She is a recent widow, having lost her partner in a war zone. Her partner was a reservist. And she's raising a 16-year-old straight son. And she is drinking a lot out of the grief she's experiencing from the loss of her partner. So it's really about how close we are to kind of falling completely apart, how it's a miracle that we don't fall apart.
Yeah, that's true, and I think it is actually kind of a miracle.
Yes,
that we don't fall apart, given
because there's
kind of the what we do what. People experience.
There's so many things that I feel like most any audience member could find a moment in this show or find some connection to the show to say, like, that hits a little too close to my own personal experience. And not in a way that's like, again, you describe this is a very particular family, a very particular moment, a very particular set of circumstances, but there were this is not my story on stage, but there were moments on stage that I was like, I identify with that way too closely. So yeah, I like that. Sorry, I interrupted your thought, but I wanted to say, like, that's kind of what's so beautiful about how you wrote this.
Thank you.
One of the things I liked about the play
thank you.
Is that, and the thing that drew me to it initially when I read it, is exactly that. The stakes are very relatable. It's not somewhere else. It's not someone else. Rebecca is an alcoholic to a certain extent, but not enough for her son to feel completely confident being at AA or Alateen, which is a meeting he goes to. And maybe the worst thing that happens is that she does embarrassing things and then kind of cusses out a neighbor. That's not anybody getting shot or any violence, but it is the kind of violence, like if you were to stomp over to your neighbor's house in your apartment and shout at them in a drunken rage, that would probably be a real warning sign for me if it happened in my life. And so I think the kind of like peaks of the plot and the depths of the characters feel extremely relatable and not heightened, which is immediately creates intimacy. At least it did with me when I was reading it.
You said this was one of the first things you'd written in a while. Are you primarily not a playwright?
No. I actually was writing another full-length play for quite a while before I wrote this play. I was working on it for about 5 years, and it was arduous. And
5 acts, epic.
No.
Based on Gilgamesh,
yeah.
Right? No?
It actually, okay. This play that I wrote is called Minerva, and it parallels the lives of performance artists in 1990s San Francisco with prostitutes in 1890s San Francisco. And it kind of weaves these two different worlds. And it's very, I still haven't cracked that play. But anyway. That's another story.
I can't wait to do a podcast on it. That sounds awesome.
Thank you. But this one, I went to this workshop with Tanya Barfield. I want to be a playwright. I guess maybe I am, but I don't really even yet identify as one. I come from more of like a performance art background. I used to perform my own work a lot, and I would create it more from improvisation. And it was a lot of text involved, but it was like I'd come up with it in the studio, and then I would develop characters, and then I'd weave the characters together. So it was very sort of telling stories in a really different way than traditional playwriting. And so it's kind of funny. I mean, this play is the most traditional play I've ever written. It's probably what I would call my second full-length play. I've written a bunch of short plays before this, too. But because of all that grief I was experiencing, it was really blocked. So I went to this workshop one weekend I was like, I'm going to go to this workshop and I'm just going to sit in there and I'm going to do my best and, you know, whatever. And I didn't have a lot of hopes about it because I was having a really hard time writing. But it was with Tanya Barfield. She's an amazing playwright. And she just sat at the front of the room doing exercises. We wrote straight through for 3 days and in between. And I just did it. Like, I just followed the directions. And this entire play emerged in that weekend. One weekend with Tanya Barfield. This entire play came through. It was like, you know. And I was really didn't think it was what it was. And I was very, I put it away, didn't look at it for a while. And then I did this workshop with Karen Hartman. And I brought one of the scenes and read it. And it was clear to me from the response in the room that actually this was a play worth writing.
Exploring
and yeah. developing. And I really needed to see people like getting it, you know, and Karen saying, yeah, keep going with this, you know. So then I did. I just kept going with it, and it started to come together. Yeah.
You mentioned what grabbed you for it, or what about the play grabbed you, Jay. How did you as a director help these actors get into these particular characters? They're very distinct people with very, again, very distinct set of circumstances that's going on here. Did you find this a difficult process in any way to kind of get these actors to these places? Or I'm just curious, like how you did that as a director.
Well, the actors are uncommonly gifted. So if I did anything, it might've been to get in their way. But I do remember having a lot of conversations that served as kind of the intellectual and maybe spiritual center of what we created in the rehearsal room. And they were all very game for those conversations. And those were kind of about, I mean, the center of the play for me is this aspiration that queer people have about creating families. And not in a mimetic way of how they were raised, but in the sense that as people, we sometimes have a desire to procreate and or raise kids of our own. And when you're queer, those options, you can't accidentally get knocked mm-hmm. up, as mm-hmm. the characters say in the play. So that was my starting point, because I found like I found it so sad that the imagination and happiness and creativity around what it would take to make an organic family with these queer people was something that was at once very bright and then also dimmed by the loss of people. That we can have a lot of sanguine conversations about what gay people can do in this country when they want to create their own families, but we don't focus on the sustainability of that creativity.
Even in traditional nuclear, like, hetero families, it's a big bowl of shit. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. it's always a mess. So, right. like...
So I thought it was...
I like that yeah. you approach it that way. That's like, it doesn't...
Well, for me, it felt really special because there isn't really a long trajectory of gay families raising their kids in societies and or cities where that feels okay. And so I really like the fact that this play evaluated what happens after shit hits the fan. But it does it when the very idea of raising families was new and rich and empowering. Mm-hmm. And when people were young and they came together in this kind of mythic sexy way in the salsa club, it felt doubly sad to have the promise of something new rather than the heterosexual, the difficulties of heterosexual nuclear families are age old. But we all deal with the same shit.
yeah.
I think that's what's so gorgeous about it, is at the end it's always so relatable. It doesn't matter what sort of family you came from or what sort of family you might be embarking upon in your future life, it feels so relatable. We get it. It's a family drama feels very real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I should stop like just espousing wonderful things about your play and
no, you can continue.
Say come see this Say, come
please
see.
Don't stop. No, it's
Leave
great.
Me green. We're at the gym at Jedson. Until when do you run?
April 11th.
April 11th. And the just tickets, more information, et cetera.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
We have a Facebook page.
We have a Facebook page, which is essentially Facebook/... Leave me green.
We'll link to it in the show notes and et cetera, et cetera. You've got that.
Yeah, it's Ovation tickets.
Cool.
And the other thing everyone should know is that you can just come to the show and walk up to the door and buy a ticket and come in, I think.
Yeah.
Like, it's not...
There's so much theater happening right now. We're unlikely to sell out, so just
yeah,
come.
I mean, we have a big theater. And
we'll fit you in.
We'll fit you in.
I helped to build these risers, and I know that we can put more chairs on them.
They're great risers.
So, yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Great stuff, guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lisi and Jay, for hanging out after the show to chat. You can catch Leave Me Green at The Gym at Jedson, 243 Thompson Street in Manhattan. Remaining performances are tonight, Tuesday, March 31st through Thursday, April 2nd, and Wednesday, April 8th through Saturday, April 11th, 2015, at 8 p.m. Head to facebook.com/leavemegreen for more information and a link to tickets. Thanks to you for listening into the podcast. If you dig it, please give it a like on Facebook, facebook.com/GoSeeAShow. Follow @GoSeeAShow on Twitter and rate or comment on the show's iTunes page. Until next time, go see a show.
Happy to be enthusiastic.